Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hanging in there for us. We're going to continue our dialogue and discussion. I'd like to hear from you. The telephone number is 831-0917. I believe your silence indicates that you're probably either unfamiliar with the subject, or you simply do not care, or you embrace the sale and use of marijuana. And it's very dangerous. The track that we're on is a very dangerous track for the state of Florida. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917, get you directed through to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion on this very vital, very serious, very current subject. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says teen marijuana vaping is on the rise. A new report says, it is from USA Today, 1 in 5 high school seniors has vaped marijuana in the last year, according to the new National Institute on Drug Abuse report. Secondly, as of Friday, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported that 2,409 cases of lung injury from vaping and 54 deaths. The federal data on Wednesday showed a significant increase in the number of 8th through 12th grade students vaping marijuana, and similarly a high jump in daily cannabis use by 8th and 10th graders. The article further says Dr. Nora Volko, the psychiatrist who has been NIDA's director since 2003, called the vaped marijuana trends very worrisome. She pointed out that this year's still increasing national outbreak of lung illnesses and diseases and death overwhelmingly from vaped THC, and the growing evidence of the link between marijuana, psychosis, and other serious mental health disorders, including schizophrenia. Teens are clearly attracted to vaping products, which are often concentrated among amounts of drugs disguised as electronic gadgets. Their growing popularity threatens to undo years of progress protecting the health of young people in the United States of America, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly correct. And many, perhaps you, are not familiar with, or perhaps have not faced the question or answered the dilemma. What should we do as Christian parents? How should we respond? What should we say? Should we just sit back and ignore it? Today's fad for our young people and the millennials in general is that of vaping. And may I say again, ladies and gentlemen, state after state is making it legal. And now the sad results that's being revealed, the very, very high dangers of vaping. Kids are vaping marijuana about 78%. Listen, you'll hear those that are advocates for vaping. You'll hear the marijuana industry that's pushing the vaping and the vaping apparatuses. You'll hear them say that they're just getting, it's an alternative to smoking a cigarette. It's just smoking nicotine. That is simply untrue, ladies and gentlemen. That's simply a demonic lie. It is simply a fabricated fact. It is not truth, because 78%, according to the statistical data, and I would say that it's probably higher than that, but the admitted statistical data says 78% of those that are smoking electronic cigarettes, it's called, vaping utensils and products, simply 78% of vaping marijuana and not tobacco and not the so-called flavors that they claim that it is. Here's an article that says, beyond nicotine, vaping marijuana. Vaping devices are not just being used for nicotine. They're also being used to vaporize THC, the chemical responsible for most of marijuana's mind-altering effects, often through cannabis-infused oils in the place of e-liquids. In this growing trend, should parents be worried? I'll say yes, absolutely. The article didn't say that. There's a limited research available on just how many young people are using vaping devices to ingest THC. One study of high school students in Connecticut found that 78% of the e-cigarette users who took the study survey had vaped marijuana, and did more than 1 in 4 students who had used both e-cigarettes and marijuana in their lifetime. Students in this study were most likely to report vaporizing marijuana than nicotine. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not a unique study. That is a study that I believe the FDA knows. I believe that the CDC is familiar with. I believe that the drug industry is familiar with. And it is an impossibility for our politicians to say that they're not familiar with these sad, staggering statistics that's absolutely destructive for the youth and the young people in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you will understand and recognize, and we can simply go to other nations where marijuana in all forms has been legal for many, many years, and you'll find a stoned out, drugged out, zombified citizenry of those nations. And the majority of those, ladies and gentlemen, nations, or majority of those nations are socialist nations where the government takes care of you from cradle to grave anyway. That's the reason there's very low production. And that's one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe has called America to have high productivity and a high response as far as the capitalistic system as a result of people that are sane in their mind and body and able to do the work and do the production. But that is going to fail us. That is going to absolutely reverse itself if we allow this trend to continue. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says spiked vapes and emergency room visits reveal the dark side of marijuana and the CBD craze. Here's the article. Jay Jenkins suffered acute respiratory failure and drifted into a coma, according to his medical records, after he says he vaped a product labeled as smokable form of cannabis extract. Lab testing commissioned as a part of the Associated Press investigation into the CBD vape showed the cartridge that Jenkins says he puffed contained a synthetic marijuana compound blamed for at least 11 deaths in Europe. Some operators cash in on CBD craze by substituting cheap, illegal, synthetic marijuana for the natural CBD in vapes and edibles, such as gummy bears, etc., etc., according to the Associated Press investigation. The practice has sent dozens of people, such as Jenkins, to the emergency rooms over the past 2 years. People behind spiked products have operated with impunity, in part because the business has boomed so fast that regulators haven't caught up while drug enforcement agents have higher priorities, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason there needs to be a stop to the vaping. In fact, here just a couple of months ago, Walmart said that they were going to discontinue the smoke e-cigarettes and the vaping products. Well, as of a week ago, I was in the store, and they still had the products on the shelf. And I asked the question, I thought your store policy was you would discontinue that. Well, we're still going to sell the stock that we had, the merchandise we have in stock. Well, they must have had millions of pieces of it in stock because the shelves are still full, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that as Christians, and I'm not one that will advocate a boycott for any reason, but I believe we need to say to these stores that have them, if you can't stop selling that garbage and destroying our young people, we're going to have to find another place to shop. I realize that most will not take that stand. I realize that it's a difficult stand to take, but I believe there's got to be some weapon that's used in the hands of the Christians to put the merchants on notice that we're not going to allow this to continue to be done, not in America, not in our front yard, not in our back door, not in our city, not in our town, not in our village, that we need to say no at some point in time. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says 15-year-old Texas teen death is nation's youngest vaping-related fatality in the current outbreak, dated January the 12th, 2020. The death of a 15-year-old in Texas marks what the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control Prevention is calling the youngest vaping-related fatality in the U.S. since the current outbreak began last year. Dallas County Health and Human Services official reported the death of the teen with a chronic underlying medical condition who lived in Dallas County, the press release issued on New Year's Eve and confirmed the teen's age to Time Magazine. The incident is Dallas County's first death related e-cigarette or vaping product use associated with lung injury, local officials said. We're seeing that severe lung damage and even death can occur with just short-term use of these products, end quote. And ladies and gentlemen, it goes on further than talking about the 2,600 plus that's been hospitalized, the 50 or 60 that have died as a result of it, and what is taking place across America with the use of the vaping products. It is the vaping. And as I said earlier in this broadcast, it is simply a sugar-coated, candy-coated term to be put in place. Well, he's just vaping, to candy coat, sugar coat, and to camouflage the fact that we have marijuana being used today as recreational use marijuana, even before the laws are passed across the nation. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, what most are not recognizing, doing, or saying is that it's still federally illegal to use marijuana. My question begs to be asked and demands an answer is, why is it that the federal government, the federal law enforcement, is not using the long arm of the law to close the pot shops and stop the sale of marijuana across the nation? If it's federally illegal, what are the cities and the states and the counties doing to circumvent, undermine, and ignore the federal law? That's a big question, isn't it? I think it's time we ask the question and demand an answer from our state and federal governmental agencies. Here's an elongated article, and I'll just read you bits and blurbs from it. The title of the article is The Vaping Marijuana Nexus. And ladies and gentlemen, I've talked about this nexus for months and months and months, if not years now. And finally, I am delighted to see some in their official capacities that's recognizing the nexus between vaping and marijuana use, because vaping is simply another delivery methodology introduced by the drug industry for getting the product more broadly used to get more hooked on, addicted to marijuana, that then opens the door for the cocaine and for the harder drugs and even the opioids. Here's an article that says, a surge in vaping-related illnesses this year caught the medical community by surprise, with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention reporting more than 2,600 lung illnesses and 54 deaths. Politicians are targeting e-cigarettes, but the CDC reported last week that marijuana is so far the greatest common denominator. You hear that? The first time, ladies and gentlemen, that the CDC or any other medically associated study has recognized and admitted that it's the common denominator, that is the nexus, the link between opioids, cocaine, and fentanyl, and all of the other hard drugs. It is the use of marijuana. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, so many of the parents that back in the 60s and now family heads, they think, well, I use marijuana, but it's not the same marijuana. I didn't approve marijuana then. I don't approve of the marijuana today, but it's not the same marijuana that your mom and pop used, ladies and gentlemen. It is totally unregulated from the standpoint of the amount of THC that goes into the e-cigarettes and the products like that. This article further says, Democratic governors such as New York's Andrew Cuomo and California Gavin Newsom, who have supported legalization of marijuana, are attacking nicotine e-cigarettes while ignoring the striking links to marijuana. Yet pot products, unlike those with nicotine, are only highly regulated by the 11 states where cannabis has been legalized for recreational use. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything that's more ignorant, is more dumbifying, stupefying, if I can use that word, dumbifying. I believe I just coined it. But anyway, I don't know of anything else that could be any more staggeringly stupid than for those to say, well, I didn't realize the nexus. I didn't realize it was that. They're against the e-cigarettes for nicotine. In fact, nicotine, i.e. cigarettes in general, has been taken off the market from the standpoint of publications on television and on advertising for the general citizenry for years because supposed to the harm and the damage of the danger. But ladies and gentlemen, it's nothing. It is infinitesimally small in comparison to what's happening with the marijuana and what it does to the leading to and the nexus between that and all of the other hard drugs, including the opioids. Let me read this last portion of this. The pot products, unlike those with nicotine, are only lightly regulated by the 7 states where cannabis has been legalized for recreational use. These states that have legalized recreational use of marijuana now trying to regulate and control the dispensaries that are dispensing pot via the vaping instruments. This article further says, one argument for the legalization and regulation of pot is that it would shrink the black market, but there's little evidence, if any, that it has done so at all. The California Department of Food and Agriculture found that only 16% of the 15.5 million pounds, that's pounds, 15.5 million pounds of marijuana produced in the state each year is also consumed in that state. The article further states about 95% of heroin and cocaine users report first using marijuana. And studies show that marijuana users require more opioid medications to cope with the pain than non-users. Older generations don't realize that the pot grown and sold today is on the average 4-5 times or more potent than the pot that they smoked in college. There's also a misconception that pot is no more addictive than alcohol. About 40% of the people who used pot in the last month used it daily compared to 10% of those that drink alcohol. Political leaders and cultural trendsetters have removed the social stigma around the use of pot, so it is socially acceptable even where it remains illegal. Rarely can you take a walk in New York City without marijuana smoke wafting into your nostrils wherever you walk. And ladies and gentlemen, that's happening right here in our city. If you pulled up in a traffic scenario at an intersection or the signal light, and you see somebody with the window open, they've opened the window because they want the marijuana smoke to waft out in the air rather than having to continue to fill their automobile to the point of not being able to see with the blue smoke that's going out. It is, I'll be honest with you, it incenses me when I see that. And the realization that at one time, had that happened, even in our city, law enforcement would have stopped the driver and would have charged them with the use of a substance that causes one not to be in control of his faculties. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says, judge blocks the New York ban on flavored vaping products. Acting State Supreme Court Justice ruled that the State Public Health and Health Planning Council overstepped their authority. The judge that blocked the New York State from enforcing law, the executive order banning flavored vaping products. The judge said regulating the vaping industry is a job for the state legislature, not for the executive branch. The emergency ban was challenged by the Vaping Technology Association and two of its member businesses. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the long arm of the marijuana industry that's the lobbyist arm in America that's paying the politicians, paying the judges, that's involved in trying to remove anything that would block their efforts to literally induce the whole nation to be involved with marijuana and other illegal drugs and those that are legal. A judge has blocked the New York State from enforcing the executive order, etc. The article further says, Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo has called vaping a public health crisis and accused unscrupulous vaping companies of targeting young people with flavors like cotton candy and bubble gum, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's laughable. When Governor Cuomo is 100% for, has 100% embraced marijuana, both medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. New York has legalized marijuana, and I just say, wow. And here's a governor that says that we ought to do something and regulate the vaping industry. And yet allowing it to be like flowing in the streets in New York with the marijuana use. And on the other side of the coin, just not far down the street, if you will, from New York is New Jersey. New Jersey lawmakers to take final vote today on vape flavor ban. New Jersey lawmakers are expected to officially ban flavored vaping products today. The law also calls for strict penalties on shops that sell e-cigarettes to minors. Governor Phil Murphy says he'll sign the bill. Vape shop owners, of course, oppose it, and many of them worry that they will go out of business. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the love of money. The Bible says it's the root of all, not some, but of all evil. But ladies and gentlemen, how should we respond? What should we do in relationship to that? May I say, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you are not familiar with, as I've touched on two or three times in the precursor in this broadcast, the fact that the state of Florida, in 2016, by 71% vote of Floridians, voted yes on a medical marijuana amendment to our state constitution. Today, medical marijuana is legal in the state of Florida, but it was used as a gimmick. It was used as a guise. It was used as simply getting the nose of the camel into the tent. The laws were proffered by and paid by John Morgan and his law firm, Morgan & Morgan. In conjunction with the pot industry, ladies and gentlemen, John Morgan said at that time that this was only the open door to eventually have recreational marijuana in the state of Florida. And that's exactly what they plan to do. That's exactly what is underway now in the state of Florida with another ballot amendment for the Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize in the state of Florida we have amended our state constitution 127 times since 1970? And for our federal constitution, in the total life of the constitution, we've amended it only 27 times. That should tell you what we're doing. We're in a constitutional republic, and our constitutional republic is set up by having a legislative branch that makes the determination on our laws. But most of these folks that decide they can't get a law passed, they're going to do it by deceiving the public with a constitutional amendment. And most of the general public, because the generally the 90 words that's put on the ballot are so illy worded, so worded in a bent fashion, that most are ignorant enough to believe what they were told when they signed the petition, that it's something that's good for you and something we need to do because, you know, those bad old laws won't let us do what we want to do. And now we'll have the 2020 election ballot, ladies and gentlemen, an amendment that will legalize the sale of marijuana for recreational purposes in the state of Florida. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says Florida Marijuana Legalization Initiative 2020. The measure designed, as it is called, the amendment was designed to legalize possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana by the residents at least 21 years old. The residents will have also been allowed to cultivate up to 6 plants per household, but only 3 or fewer plants could be mature or flowering. The plant, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, how do you enforce that? If this passes, how do you enforce it that they're to have only 6 plants per household, and only 3 of those plants or fewer can be mature or flowering plants? The plants would have needed to be grown in an enclosed locked space, and users would have to have permitted to sell the plants that they grow. Would not have been permitted, that is, they will not be legal to sell what they're growing. I want to ask a very, very demonstrative question. How is that going to be enforced? We're going to have to increase law enforcement 1,000% at the least across the state of Florida when this passes, if this passes. If we as Christians sit back and do nothing, if we as conservatives sit back in silence and do nothing, it will pass. And the question is, how are we going to hire enough law enforcement? Do you go in and bang door downs? Do you go in and ring the doorbell and say, please let me come in and check your marijuana plants and count them? How do you regulate that, ladies and gentlemen? The amendment also outlined regulations for marijuana cultivation, retail marijuana sales, and manufacturing of marijuana products. Further, the article says, the proposed title on the ballot would be as follows. And let me read it to you, ladies and gentlemen. To regulate marijuana in a manner similar to alcohol and establish a legal age, licensing, and other restrictions, end quote. And here's the ballot summary that they're proposing on the ballot. The proposed ballot summary would read as follows. Regulates marijuana, hereinafter called cannabis, for limited use and growing by persons 21 years of age or older. State shall adopt regulations to issue, renew, suspend, and revoke license for cannabis cultivation, products manufacturing, testing, and retail facilities. Local governments may regulate facilities, time, place, and manner. If the state fails to timely act, may license facilities. That is, the county can license the facility, the state doesn't. Does not affect compassionate use of low THC cannabis. Listen, does not affect compassionate use of low THC cannabis, nor immunize the federal law violations. Ladies and gentlemen, what this simply says is that it is federally illegal, yet it will be on the ballot in November of this year in the state of Florida. And it is saying that it will allow compassionate use of low THC cannabis. When, ladies and gentlemen, no one is regulating and measuring the amount of THC in the gummy bears and in the vape equipment that is being used across the nation today. So how are you expecting it to be regulated if it is passed? Ladies and gentlemen, if it passes, it will be the so-called Wild West, but not with guns. It will be with marijuana. And ladies and gentlemen, I am appalled by the fact that when one person dies with a weapon, with a gun, all of a sudden the socialist, Marxist, leftist, Democrats say we need to ban guns. But when we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those that are being addicted and those that are dying, those that are committing suicide, those that have schizophrenia and paranoia and other major, major diseases, we're doing nothing in America about it. We're sitting back basically and allowing our nation to be destroyed simply because of the funds that's being received by the politicians. Here's an article that says legalized marijuana amendment should be kept off the ballot. Florida GOP tells the Supreme Court. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful and I commend our GOP leadership in Tallahassee that it's at least trying. Listen, this article says legalized marijuana amendment should be kept off the ballots, according to the Florida GOP leaders to the Supreme Court. Dateline January the 7th, 2020, Tallahassee, Attorney General and Ashley Moody and the State House Senate wants the Florida Supreme Court to reject a proposed constitutional amendment that would allow recreational marijuana use, arguing that the measure would fully inform voters that pot remains illegal under federal law. They're saying, ladies and gentlemen, that it should be, the Supreme Court should say no on the 90-word ballot initiative because it does not tell the reader of that article that it is federally illegal to use and or sell or to grow marijuana. Lawyers for Moody, that is Ashley Moody, the Attorney General, lawyers for Moody, the House and the Senate filed briefs late Monday, contending that the proposed wording would be misleading if it goes on the ballot. Unlike previous citizens' initiatives approved by this court for the ballot placement, the adult use of marijuana proposed summary does not caution voters that the effect of the amendment would be limited to state law or inform voters that marijuana would still remain illegal by federal law, end quote. The briefs were filed as a political committee make it legal as the political committee make it legal for Florida tries to get the proposal amendment on the November ballot. The proposal in part would allow people 21 years of age to purchase, use, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The Supreme Court is not supposed to consider the merits of the proposed constitutional amendment, but must sign off on the ballot titles and summaries just to look at the issue, such as the wording and the misleading wording of the ballot initiative. Ladies and gentlemen, I could read further. It's an extensive article. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says opioids and cannabis and vaping among emerging issues that threaten all young people in America, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us that we have a responsibility as Christians. We need to call the House and the Senate in Tallahassee, commend them for taking the stand, call the Attorney General's office, Ashley Moody, and ask her to please, please, please continue. Do not give in. Do not give over. Do not sit down, but continue to fight to prevent that from being on the ballot in November of this year. It will destroy our state if it passes, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.